Jesus is the one true God, and he has that triune nature about him, three persons in one. And then the Holy Spirit, just the impact that it has on our life and keeping us accountable, and also how we can quench that spirit if we don't follow its direction in our life, and then we end up in a really bad spot. So today we are going to be talking about the devil or Satan. I think this will probably be a quicker point, and then we'll see how far we get on it today. But let's see. So there's three passages here: Matthew 4:1-3, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and Revelation 20:10. So if you guys want to turn there, we'll go ahead and read the paragraph here. It says, "This we believe of the devil or Satan. We believe in the personality of Satan, that he is the unholy god of this age and the author of all the powers of darkness, and he is destined to an eternal justice in the lake of fire." It's a pretty short description, but anybody in here disagree with that? I hope not, because you agreed to it when you came here. But yeah, probably. I do it a lot of times too, not even thinking about it, because I always capitalize the word God, and even if I'm using the word lowercase g, sometimes I'll accidentally capitalize it. Probably just a typo. We can add that to the list of things to fix on it, though. Right. Let's see. So, who has Matthew 4? Miss Nancy?
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. And then the tempter came to him. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread."
Amen. So we see that the devil is referred to in a lot of passages as the tempter. And so he tried tempting Jesus. Obviously, we know that didn't work out too well for him and wasn't really possible. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So we just see that the Bible gives us that whole interaction to show that Satan tried to tempt Jesus several times and didn't really work out for him. So anybody have anything to say about that? I figure the talking about Satan and the devil will probably go pretty quick.
You know, this is Satan's world, and he tempts us every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's around us all the time, even here. That's why we need to keep praying and keep Jesus on our minds, his word on our mind consistently, because the devil can take over at any time.
Yep. And Ephesians 6 is a good passage to always have at the forefront of your mind, because if we don't have that armor of God put on, then we won't be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil.
You said Satan was around us all the time.
He's here.
Really? So one thing I know about Satan is he's not omnipresent. That would mean that he is like God if he were present everywhere.
But
it's something to consider.
Right. No, he has devils that are around a lot of times, but he himself can't be everywhere at once, which is one of the things that makes God so much more powerful than him. But
as far as his presence through devils, by Satan's presence, you mean like the devils or whatnot as well? Like his kingdom is present everywhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why we need to have the armor of God, like was mentioned, to make sure that when that temptation comes and those fiery darts are fired at us, that we were able to withstand that and not allow it to affect our lives or pierce through that armor. So the next passage was 2 Corinthians 4:4. Who has that? Okay, Miss Teresa.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen. So we definitely see a lot of blinding going on nowadays. You don't have to look very far to see that. That's especially it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. Just you can preach the gospel to somebody until you're blue in the face and they're just blinded to it a lot of times. And you know, we don't see as many people getting saved these days, and that's not a result of God being less powerful than he was back in great revivals in the history or the things that he did in the Bible. It's just a result of man's heart being more and more hardened and rooted in sin. So, but God is powerful enough to pierce through that if people are willing and soften their hearts. So it says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, but yeah, we see that in that verse that Satan is the god of this world. And we see the blindness, and we have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ that it talks about in here. And it's our job to shine that. And we're not, by shining it, you're not going to get everybody to be unblinded or be able to see the gospel and for what it is and repent of their sins, but it's still our job to preach it. And even more so nowadays, we just need to keep our eyes set on Christ and what our mission, what our commission is as a church, and just keep spreading the gospel. I need to get my testimony printed out on a tract. I meant to do that years ago and then just never got around to it either, so maybe that's something we should pray about doing as a church. Yes, Luke. Tools. What kind of tools?
So Brother Stallman also brought forth, I don't know if he got it from somewhere else, but it was basically a 15-second testimony. That's a really good tool.
15 seconds.
Yes.
Wow.
Very simple, but very powerful. And so one thing I was thinking of with this, though, is that it says that we believe in the personality of Satan. Like, I'm not sure if y'all check like the Gallup polls and things like that that are done, but there's actually a very large percentage of people in America that claim to be Christians, claim to believe the Bible, but say they do not believe in Satan.
I don't know how you can get to that, how you can explain what's going on in our world without there being a Satan.
Some things, but I think that's probably one point of our statement of faith, is that we're actually affirming what Scripture says, that Satan does exist. It was made famous by a movie, but I find that the original quote was probably around the 1800s, where it said the greatest trick the devil pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist. So,
I've heard that. I didn't know it was from a movie, but I have heard that before.
Take out the enemy, they camouflage themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. one of the other things I've heard, even in Baptist churches, is that they try to water down, because hell can be offensive in talking about people going to hell. For people talk about hell basically is just an eternity separated from God. Instead of talking about it being a lake of fire and the torment that happens therein, they just say, oh, if you die today without Christ, you'll spend an eternity separated from God, the one who created you. And when I hear that preached, I'm just thinking, well, if you've already lived your life here on earth separated from God and not living for him, what does it matter in eternity at that point? If you didn't know him while you were here and you didn't care to know him, what matters about it? If all hell is just blackness and separation from God, then that's not really much of a punishment. And that's why watering down what hell really is dangerous if you don't warn people what it really is. I've even heard that preached in Baptist churches, because people don't like the fire and brimstone or talk about hell. And it's not our job to sugarcoat things. We have to preach what the Bible says. And yeah.
Your flesh is going to regenerate and they're going to tear it off again.
Poking you with pitchforks and all that.
I'm just like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, because that's what the Bible does say, that Satan will be tormented along with everyone else.
That probably comes if we get our doctrine and our beliefs from watching Hollywood movies instead of the Bible. Because if you watch movies I've seen clips of stuff like that where it shows what people think hell is, and it's, you know, demons ripping your flesh apart and devil poking you with a pitchfork while you're in flames. And that's why we don't look to that for our beliefs or our doctrine. We look at what the Bible says, and anything extra or taken away from that, we need to ignore. Mm-hmm.
And their Bible scholars on there were saying the same thing. I was like, well, what? So anyway, whenever we talk about any of these doctrines, it's very important to just look at Scripture and see what it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to be careful to water things down to make it more appealing, because by watering the gospel down, you're not giving out the real gospel. That's a false gospel. Mm-hmm.
In this verse, little g, God of the world, and big G is like image of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a very important thing that we have to be able to differentiate that in Scripture to know, because the word God is used several times, not always talking about our God, but it's also very, just that lowercase to uppercase letter is very powerful, and always need to make light of that. And that, I noticed that too when I was going through this, that it had a capital G. Also, I've never seen, when it comes to other churches' statement of faith, using the word personality. I think that's pretty interesting too. But we just need to be aware of Satan and his devices. Like the Bible says, he's seeking to devour and roaming about like a lion. So Revelation 20:10?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, with a beast and a
Yep.
He was just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be among everyone else in hell.
Yep, with the beast and the false prophet. And it does say that the devil will be tormented day and night forever.
I mean, you see with Hollywood as well, it's like the mainstream scholars, is like that the devil's in hell on a throne having a good time. You know, it's like, I don't read that in scripture.
No, I think God casting Satan to hell would be pointless if that was some sort of giving him a promotion almost, you know, and giving him power over hell and the devils and all that. That's not really how God usually works. If he's giving some sort of punishment or judging us for something, he doesn't reward us and give us a new position or power. So, yep. So we see that the devil is always trying to get us to fall, to try to tempt us with sin, as he did even with Jesus. And in the end, he gets cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And I'll be happy when we don't have to deal with him anymore. That'll be a great, great day. And I hope we get to watch as that happens. That would be pretty amazing to see that all come to completion and see him get some torment for everything that he's caused. So, anybody else have anything to say about the Antoine?
I can say within myself, like, I have to be careful with the devices of Satan, like a temptation. Like, how can I say it? There's some people tempt different, but I think we get misunderstand that how Satan knows us and he tempt us with stuff that we like for us. It could be pride or just food or different other things that the normal person don't think is sin.
Mm-hmm.
But when it messes with our spirit, it's just as worse as one of the other sins. I think we just gotta be careful that Satan pays attention to us and tempts us with stuff that we like.
Yeah, he has a custom fit toolbox for each one of us, I think. Or maybe not him specifically, because he can't be everywhere, but the devils, he equips them with what they need to attack each individual person with where they struggle. It would be a lot easier if the devil and devils or demons didn't know what we struggle with, and you know, they tempted us with things that didn't really work. That would make life a little bit easier, but it's definitely obvious as you walk a Christian life that the attacks that you take on are usually pretty specific to where you struggle at.
Yeah.
So
our struggles come, I think a lot of times the battles ourselves, our flesh is a lot stronger than, or I don't know if you say our flesh is weak, but in a way, I find that I'm my own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives me crazy because I know my own weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. No, we can't. I actually saw a quote on that the other day scrolling through Facebook. I can't remember what it was, but it was something to the effect of we give the devil and we give him too much credit and we like to blame the devil for things when he probably wasn't even involved. It was just ourselves. And it's very true. It's easy when you stumble or when you fall to be like, oh, that pesky devil, or you know, those devils, they got me. But maybe it was just your flesh, and you just didn't say no.
You know, that's exactly why we need to go to the Lord each and every day and continually pray, because of our own devices can cause us problems, but we need to ask the Lord for help in all those things, you know?
Yep.
That's what he's here for. He's here to help us, but we oftentimes forget to ask him for the little things that cause big problems.
Yep. We need to constantly... Do you have something, Miss Carol? Oh. We need to constantly... That prayer always comes to my mind from David. Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yes.
And create in me a clean heart. And we need to constantly be doing that, because sometimes, even Antoine brought up things that we don't even think about as necessarily sins, that we do on a daily basis, that we need the Holy Spirit and God to bring up as we read our Bibles and communicate with Him. He'll bring those things to mind, and you're like, wow, I didn't even think about that, or never even crossed my mind when it was happening or whatever. It's very important. And so, Luke, did you have something? Depends on the day. No, I'm just kidding.
Possibly, but like,
yeah, I try to do a good job.
Like,
yeah.
You know, this is gonna perfect. This is gonna affect my performance rating, and this is going to affect my raise. You know, even if you don't feel like doing it, you're probably going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Me as an adjuster, I try to turn out an excellent work product. You know, be very diligent on my reports. Diligent on my inspections.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I don't miss anything. Like, Satan's had this job for like 6,000 years.
Yep.
Like, it's like his only job is just to tempt us, and that's all he's about. So, in some way, I don't even think it's that quote unquote difficult for him. That is something that's important to realize. He has an intimate ally in our flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we feed it a lot of times, which just makes the devil more powerful and his influence on us. We're feeding into our flesh and allowing it to lead us instead of the Holy Spirit, then the devil just takes advantage of that. So, anything else on...
This reminds me of the verse that we memorized, I can't even get the words.
And the sin.
Us. We need to set that aside because we know what they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's specific to us. The things that I struggle with are not going to be the same that Antoine struggles with, most likely. And the devil is aware of that through our flesh and the things that we give into on temptation. The devil's just writing everything down and keeping track.
You know, so it may be years later, you might be like, I've never been tempted with this sin. Why am I being tempted with it now?
Yeah.
And that's something that's important, like what it says in James, when every man's tempted, he's drawn away his own lust and enticed. Like, God doesn't tempt any man to sin. So that stuff that's already in us, so we need to, that's how careful we need to be. It's not just like, oh, I would never do this sin. I don't, that's not
Well, that's, by saying that, that's a prideful statement, really, in and of itself, if you boil it down. And that's why the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If we feel like, oh, I could never do that, or that's, you know, I don't struggle with that like so-and-so does, then, well, like it used to be preached from this pulpit, mark it down, because you'll eventually fall into that, most likely, is how that typically happens. So.
And another thing along with that is that, like, you know, I found that what some people struggle with, like, I struggle with in a different way. Like, it's a different sin, but it's the same type of, like, when it comes to, like, addiction and things that you're addicted to and things like that. Sometimes we think that our sin's so unique that we're just like, well, this person can't understand, or this person can't help me or whatnot because I have this particular problem. But there's something similar to all of our sin, and it is, there's also a similar solution too, praise God. So.
It's interesting too, and me and you talked about this recently, that pride is rooted in every sin. And even saying that, oh, my situation's so unique, you wouldn't understand. That's prideful to think that in 6,000 years of history in this earth, that we ourselves are so unique that nobody else has ever gone through. Especially when the Bible says there's no It's a very prideful thing to think that. And even recently talking to somebody, we were just talking to them and trying to understand what was going on, and they just kept saying, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. If you would hear me out, you might be able to understand, but until you go through something like this yourself, you just won't be able to. It's like, well, I don't think your situation's that unique. And that's why the Bible, everything in here, it addresses whatever the situation is. There is victory through it. So it doesn't matter if we understand or not. God understands. And if we follow His word, He gives us the prescription to address that problem.
Yes.
And so it's just a prideful standpoint that we take to say that my situation is so unique, you just wouldn't understand. You wouldn't be able to help me. That's just pride. So, and like, Luke and me have been talking recently, it's just something that everybody struggles with, and it's really at the root of every sin is pride. Mm-hmm. And so, anything else about the devil? All right. I think we can tackle, in the few minutes we have left, creation, mainly because we kind of just went through Genesis, or have been going through Genesis, and Luke went pretty in depth on creation, and so that this will just be a quick refresher. So, if you want to turn to Genesis 1, oh, it says chapter 1 and 2. Well, we just read that recently, so if somebody wants to turn to Colossians 1:16 and John 1:3, we'll read through this, and then we'll plan on next week, Lord willing, going through the fall of man. So while you're turning there, says this: we believe of the creation, we accept the Genesis account of creation, and we believe that man came into being by direct creation of God and not by evolution. That's a very summarized version. I would say we accept the Genesis account of creation 100%, to the point where we don't believe in a gap theory, we don't believe in anything like that. We believe that the earth was created in 6 literal days, and 6 literal days means 24-hour periods. So we don't believe in a gap theory or anything like that, to be even more specific. It's crazy that there's a lot of Baptists that even believe that. There's even Baptists that believe in somewhat of an evolution process like that, that we weren't just created. So it's very important to go over these things. But who has Colossians 1:16?
Yeah.
Ms. Carol?
For by them were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Amen. That's something we also need to remember that, and that Satan is on a leash, and God created Satan, and God has just as much control over Satan as he does us. And that's something we need to keep in mind, that Satan is on a leash. While we are still tempted and stuff like that, he can only do so much, especially to those of us who are saved. He can't possess, he can only oppress, and that's if we allow it. So the devil's influence on us is only as strong as how close we are to God. If we're far away from God, the devil's influence is probably going to be that much more pronounced. If we're close to God, then we're not really going to have to deal with the devil's temptation as much. He's going to try harder, but if you're close to God, you'll be able to overcome those temptations a lot easier. Oh, Ms. Teresa?
It's probably the same verse, but just says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
And it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
So yep.
If you want the devil to flee from you, you just need to submit to God, which is something, well, that's a whole lot of time.
Yeah, it's easier to say it, but it's another thing to follow it for sure. But it doesn't take away from the truth of it, that's for sure. Luke?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right.
He's got the whole world in his hands. Let's talk about God, and that's still true, you know. It's like I was talking to my wife recently about a message. I don't know if she heard it or what. I shared it with y'all about Rolf Bernhard, one of the watching men die, where he went down. He's like the only preacher to like 50,000 people in this like oil town that sprang up in Texas overnight. He went down one side of the street asking money for to build a church building. And there was just full of wicked people, I guess. And so he went down the other side of the street, and he said, by the time I got down the other side of the street, this lawyer came up to me and was like, oh, what you're doing is awful. What you're doing is awful. He's like, you ought not to use the devil's money to prosecute the Lord's work. And he was like, and I thanked the brother, and I repented. I think what he was saying was, I think he was being sarcastic, but I kept the money because the brother was wrong. He's like, there's not a dime on this earth that belongs to the devil. If you find one dime, like one piece of gold or anything that belongs to him, you tell me about it, I'll look him up and I'll give it to him. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So anyway, just speaking of creation, it does all belong to him. It's just Satan is the master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Manipulator, and that's why most of the governments, like I think I've told y'all, it seems like the closest place that Satan is the governments of this world. Mm-hmm. You go into like the state house and whatnot, and the level of satanic deception that's there is just horrendous, especially amongst a lot of professing Christians. So, and I think I don't know if I've seen it this way before, but Colossians 1:16 where it says, all thrones and things like that were created by him. It's almost like God is saying, like, which is astonishing, the very material that we use to build the state house, the very material that a king would use to build his own throne, it was made by God.
Mm-hmm.
So forget where everything
right.
God comes from.
Amen.
The devil will use money, though, but it doesn't belong to him, you know. I when you talk about politics and the deception there, I think of the fact that we have, I believe he's still in place, we have in Indiana, an elected representative who is a Baptist pastor and is just very deceived, will not take a strong stance against abortion, just doesn't really, when it comes to his votes, you would not be able to tell that he's a Christian. And that's a sad thing, seeing as how he stands in a pulpit in front of a congregation on a Sunday morning and preaches, and then votes with the world and with Satan, with the position that God gave him. So, you know, and the only thing I can think that boils down to is money. Money talks, as they say, and the devil will use that to corrupt people. Obviously, we see that all around the world. And also power. Power corrupts. Those are the two big things. And it's sad that even somebody who is a independent Baptist pastor will kneel and give in to that pressure and still preach at a pulpit. It's just, it's shameful. Luke probably knows who I'm talking about. And
Wesco.
Yeah, very sad. He's still elected. But yeah, just the devil will use those things to even somebody who, I assume probably when the pastor got elected, he probably had great intentions to go in there and maybe turn the state house upside down, and then ended up having the opposite effect. Kind of like how there was a mindset where Christians would say, oh, we're going to go send our kids into the public school system to bring about revival and be a good influence. Well, how'd that turn out?
Right.
So we need to not be so prideful in our stance and be more grounded in God's word. To come in and especially, you know, I've seen the state of a lot of teenagers even in our churches, and to have the mindset that you're going to send them into the public school system and start some kind of revival is just a prideful statement. God can use them if they're close to him, but you thinking that your kid is so spiritual enough to go and turn up a public school system upside down, that we haven't seen that yet. I would love to see that, but you know, we just got to make sure that what we're saying is realistic and in line with where we're at.
Well, it's the same thing with, like, I remember I talked to a preacher's son before he was going to go in the military. I found out he was going to go in the military, and I was like, what are you doing that for? You know? And his response was not encouraging. You know, he was saying that it was something he dreamed of when he was a kid. I think it's like, you don't send a kid like to, that's a novice into a situation like that.
Right.
You don't send even a young man that's a novice into the military. I mean, it's a meat grinder, and it's, you're going to be surrounded by the majority of just wicked people, and they are going to influence you. They're going to, it'll be day and night them tempting you to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's not like, the Lord's called me here, you know, that's what we as parents, we can't, like, say that our kids are called to something, and therefore, they're going to go do it. You know, it's like, we're just setting them up for destruction, you know. Cause, I mean, if there's parents saying that about their kids, we're going to send the kids into, well, that's one thing for the parents to say, it's be a whole other thing if that child was like, I am burdened of God. You know, the Spirit, I've been fasting, praying, God wants me to go into the public schools, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But typically you don't hear that.
No, that's the sad thing. It would be great to see some teenagers that is really on fire and want to make a difference. And I have seen a lot more recently. I think there's even polls that show that, what's the generation right now? Is it Gen Z? That they're more interested in church and more conservative than any of the previous generations in a long time. So, and I do see an openness with that generation that they're searching. They want truth.
And sadly, it's because of a lot of the wickedness that's going on in our country. It's just repulsing. I mean, a lot of people. Not, I'm saying sadly because it's like they're not really being converted from what I've experienced. Getting religious because it's kind of a pushback on the transgender ideology, putting men and women in sports, things like that. They're seeing the fruit of it, like it's bad. I mean, it's a good thing that they're going that direction, but it's also like they need to go all the way and you know, but
well, I think
that happens, you see in human history too, like societies get so rampant and wicked with you know, sexual perversion and things like that, that eventually people just start, this isn't working. Like,
yeah.
This is destroying our lives, it's destroying our families, it's, you know, we got a bunch of people in jail, we have, you know, just, it's like, yes, and they just realize that the fruit of their ways is not good.
Yeah. And the bad thing is that the young people get sucked up by the non-denominational prosperity gospel and God is love, no judgment, no condemnation, and that they get swept up into that. They're searching for religion. They're searching for a lot of times peace, and they find it in the wrong place. And that's why I think it's, if we were as influential, I know that the non-denominational churches use a lot of different ways to get people in, but if we were as aggressive in our witness as the Jehovah's Witnesses or even some of the non-denominational churches, how much more people will we see in these pews?
Speaking directly to our topic of creation, and I don't know if you meant this, but like if we were as aggressive as leftists in pushing the public schools and trying to get all kids into public schools, we would see a difference too. As many have said, you teach people that they are animals, and they evolve from animals, and that's all they are. There's nothing special about them. They weren't created in the image of God. Like, what do you expect? They're going to act like animals.
Yeah.
And so, really, I understand in some sense wanting to change some things about the public schools, because it's like, those are indoctrination centers. That's one reason, one big reason we can say why we have so much wickedness in America.
Yeah, and if they want to fix the public school system, they're going to have to dive a lot deeper than boys playing in girls' sports and stuff like that. They're going to have to really just take the curriculum, throw it out the window, burn it, and start new. And then put in teachers that actually care and have some sense to them. And yeah.
So a lot of kids, I mean, even what you don't realize, I think, as adults, when Satan starts to undermine our belief in the Word of God, like, we don't really have that down, then we don't believe that God actually did create everything in 6 days. This is like that gets pushed very hard. Like, name every legitimate scientist in the world believes in evolution. Like, how could you not believe in evolution? And you're stupid, you know what I mean? Like, all of this is like, well, I don't want to be stupid. That seed gets there, and it's just like, it may not cause them to outright reject, like, God and the Bible, you know, because their family and all that, they don't want to offend their family, but in some way they're not as on fire for God as they should be.
Yeah, but the verse that comes to mind is, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, the scientists may think they have it all figured out and that there's no God, but they will find out one day that there was, and hopefully before it's too late. But, you know.
But I'm saying the problem that they're causing is that people, like, young ones, even some adults, don't know if they can trust God's word.
Right. No, yeah, you're right.
Like, did God actually create everything in 6 days? You know, did he rest on the seventh? Like, there's that seed's planted there. It's like they may say, oh, I believe what the Bible says, but they're like, but I don't know. Is evolution true? You know?
Yeah.
I have a coworker that struggles with that. And he said, well, you know, there's all these different versions. How do you know which version is right? How do you, even if you try to prove it, you know, how do you know? How do you know? And I said that, you know, any question I asked, he'd be like, well, but that's from that version. And I was like, you know, just.
Yeah,
you know, just,
I've dealt with people like that. Yeah. And until they just give
just
in.
Having God's word totally.
Yeah. Until they study it for themselves and actually from a standpoint where they're willing to learn instead of just questioning everything, not much is going to be able to get to them. They just have to be open. Because people ask questions seemingly interested, but in their mind they've already made it up that they're not going to believe it, they won't believe it.
Right.
So until they open up, it's not going to have any effect on them. And only the Holy Spirit can, as Brother Hewitt likes to talk about, the wind blowing, that's when the opportunity is given. In closing, talking about creation, because we're out of time, let's say that Luca alluded to it, talking about how, you know, you tell people that they come from animals, then what's wrong with them acting like animals? You know, with a society that wants to reject God is a society that has no morals. Without God and his word and the things that he's instilled in us, we would have no morals. So the Darwin humanistic mindset is you do whatever you need to as a human to get ahead in life. And that's why if you look at it from a humanistic standpoint, if I was struggling financially and I pulled out a gun and shot Luke and took all his money for the betterment of myself and my family, there's nothing wrong with that. Because from a humanistic standpoint, I was doing what was right by me and taking care of my family.
And you wouldn't be much better off.
But you, you dressed pretty nice, so I was just assuming that you had. But no, we'll close there. So I've enjoyed these Sunday school times. Next week we'll talk about the fall of man, Lord willing. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you get to spend in Sunday school, Lord. Just thank you for your word, Lord. Without that.